Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 15, The Yoga of the Supreme Person, Text 17. Uttama Purushasvanya Paramatnet Yudharita Yoloka Trayam Avisha Vibhartyavya Ishvara Uttama, the best. Purusha, personality. Tu, but. Anya, another. Parama, the supreme. Atma, self. Iti, thus. Udarita, is said. Yaha, who. Loka, of the universe. Trayam, the three divisions. Avisha, entering. Vibharti, is maintaining. Avyaya, inexhaustible. Ishvara, the Lord. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Besides these two, there is the greatest living personality, the Supreme Soul. The imperishable Lord Himself has entered the three worlds and is maintaining them. Purport. The idea of this verse is very nicely expressed in the Kathi Upanishad, 2.2.13. And Shweta Sutara Upanishad, 6.13. It's clearly stated there that above the innumerable living entities, some of whom are conditioned and some of whom are liberated, there is a Supreme Personality who is Paramatma. The Upanishad's verse runs as follows. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam. The purport is that amongst all the living entities, both conditioned and liberated, there is one Supreme Living Entity, Personality. Supreme Personality of Godhead maintains them and gives them all the facility of enjoyment according to different work. Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in everyone's heart as Paramatma. A wise man who can understand him is eligible to attain perfect peace, not otherwise. Uttama Purushasvanya Paramatma Idarita Ishvara. Besides these two, there is the greatest living personality, the Supreme Soul, the imperishable Lord Himself, who has entered the three worlds and is maintaining them. Practically in every chapter, Krishna is repeating the same philosophy, that there is three. There's the Soul, and the Super Soul, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that we are the individual souls, the minute particles of Krishna. And Krishna has expanded himself in everyone's heart as the Super Soul. And then there is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source of all incarnations, expansions, and energies. And the idea of the soul is to follow the direction of the Supreme Soul. If not, then he's forced to follow the directions of the impulses arising from the material senses and mind. So it is in the soul's interest to follow Krishna's directions in order to get free from the servitude to the material gross and subtle senses. Therefore Krishna says, Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridayeshe arjunatishtati brahmanyan sarvabhutani yantra rudani maya. Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, is directing the wanderings of all living entities, who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. So, the conception is that we're sitting on this material body, just like one would be sitting in a car, and the car is being directed by the Super Soul. Tam eva sharanam gacha. Sara Bhavena Bharata Tat Prasadam Param Shantim Stanam Prasasi Shastitam. So that's the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, tam eva sharanam gacha. Therefore, surrender unto him in all respects, Arjuna. Tam eva sharanam gacha sara bhave navarata. Tat prasadam param shantim. By his grace, one will get eternal peace. And sthanam prapasati shasvatam. And the eternal abode. In other words, if we follow Krishna's directions, we'll get two things. Peace and the eternal abode. And if we don't, then yakshastra vidim usrija vartate kamakarata yasasadim avapnoti nasukam naparamgitim. That one who doesn't follow the shastra and acts whimsically. And what is whimsically? Trividara narakasyeduam. Dvaram nashitamatmanaha kama krodha tata lobas tasmat etam triyam chidet. There are three gates leading to hell. Lust, anger, and greed. So these are three preliminary facets of the illusory energy. And from them comes illusion. The reason why we're identified with this gross and subtle body is that we're covered by, we're influenced by lust, anger, and greed. So anyone who thinks that they're pure and very advanced in spiritual life, at the same time is being is an illusion, who's identifying themselves with the gross or subtle body, then it's to be understood that they're covered by lust, anger, and greed. Sometimes they're not manifested, and sometimes they're manifested, but they're always manifested in illusion. And as well as forgetfulness. And therefore the tendency is to misuse our intelligence instead of utilizing it to advance spiritually and engage ourselves in devotional service. There's a tendency, at least for the conditioned soul, to utilize the senses for sense gratification. But if one takes shelter of Krishna, then Krishna will always give one will give Krishna will give the intelligence by which one can come out of the material illusion, the three modes of nature, and become conscious of Krishna. And as soon as we become conscious of Krishna, then we become conscious of our eternal identity. Now, Brahmaiti, Paramatmiti, Bhagavan iti, Shabdite, by different types of yoga, one may reach Brahman and realize the eternality, that we're not this body. But to know we're not this body doesn't mean we know who we actually are. Now, we've come to the material world to imitate Krishna, so for most conditioned souls, the last thing they want to find out about is that they're not God. Not only that, but they're eternally ineligible to become God. It doesn't matter how much we practice yoga, how we learn to win friends and influence people. We may take our vitamin pills every day, but we don't get any closer to becoming God than we already are. In other words, the entire material endeavor to become the Supreme is simply a waste of time. Now, even in this one lifetime, generally speaking, no one would like to admit that they wasted a life. Therefore, when you try to explain this to older people, they refuse to accept it, because otherwise they would have to admit they wasted practically their whole life. And what to speak, even ourselves, the fact that we've wasted not one life, but practically unlimited lives. Trying to do the impossible, to become God. And we haven't made any progress whatsoever since time immemorial to becoming God. We may have approached something we thought was going to be supreme in Lord Brahma, but then Lord Brahma, after his 311 trillionth, 40 billionth birthday, he died. And his attempt to become God was also a failure. But the conditioned soul is so determined not to follow Krishna's directions. Materna Krishna Parataksadova. The last thing we want to do is hear from Krishna that were infinitesimal, 1/10,000 the size of Tipperary size souls. And even if one was 2/10,000 the size of Tipperary size, it wouldn't make a big difference. So we're trying to make ourselves visible, we're trying to make ourselves observable, we're trying to make ourselves the center of attention, and we can't do it because we're so tiny. But we try to make this body as the center of attention, taking credit for everything the body's doing, although we're not doing any of it. Still, we want to take credit for it. And that's our problem. Because for all our credit we get a lot of material problems. Like this body is equipped to help the soul suffer perpetually in material energy. It's devised like that. So as long as we want to take credit for what we're doing and enjoying the material world, then we have to accept this material body of suffering. Now, no one likes to think of their body as suffering. We think we're having a great time. We can eat so much, we can sleep so much, but still it's all suffering. Therefore, one has to take shelter of Krishna's intelligence that he gives in order to understand things properly. But part of that is that one has to give up one's false ego and become willing to become the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. Because it just so happens Krishna is everywhere. We can't get away from him. And as soon as we forget him, then we're in Maya. There's no in-between. It's not that, yes, I can practice Krishna consciousness, and sometimes we can take a break in Maya, but there's no problem, because Maya is not so bad. I can actually enjoy Maya too, and enjoy Krishna too. But that's not the way the material world works. That if we accept even Maya to the smallest extent, which of course we are, then we have to suffer from old age, disease, and death, and having to take birth again and suffer in the same ways that we're suffering now. Only in the next birth, we have to start all over again. Go back to public kindergarten, get your 25 vaccines when you take birth nowadays. You come out of the hospital looking like a porcupine. And you can survive taking birth. Actually, if you're one of the lucky people who take birth and they try and kill you with the vaccines, then they destroy your mind, 20 years of school, making sure you become as foolish as possible. So by the time you're done, you're just blabbing, you're an idiot, thinking of your body. The whole thing is just to work all your neck this life too, just to gratify the senses. But luckily, those who hear about Krishna, those who read Bhagavad Gita, can find out that if we take shelter of Krishna and serve him even in the most simple way, and therefore become eligible that Krishna helps us remember him, then our this lifetime will become successful, and we'll be able to wake up again and realize how wonderful Krishna is, that he's, and how wonderful Krishna's devotees are, and therefore make progress to going back to our original home. This material world is not anyone's home. It doesn't even practically exist. It's always changing. In 100 years, this building won't even be here practically. Where are we going to be? But if we're with Krishna, then we don't have to worry, because we'll always be home. And if we're not with Krishna, we'll simply wander. Tasyaya vaheto prayate tiko vido tilabhyate yad brahmatam ubharita. We'll simply wander up and down the universe looking for some peace, some refuge, some happiness. And it's not there in the material world. It'll never be here. So as long as we want to stay around, we'll be disappointed. And as soon as we make progress in Krishna consciousness, then we'll actually become hopeful. We can attain something of valuable, of real value. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
You said at one that we should never take a break from Krishna consciousness and let ourselves be accepted by it. And sometimes it's hard to understand, are we doing something Mayic really, or can you maybe elaborate on what kind of things we can do that we think that we are still Krishna conscious or we are still engaged but we are actually Maya?
Oh, as Prabhupada once told one devotee, Giriraj Maharaj, when they were walking on the beach in Juhu, and Prabhupada gave some statement, and Giriraj Maharaj said to Shri Prabhupada, I didn't understand that, I was in Maya. And Prabhupada started to laugh and said, you were in Maya, you're always in Maya. So sometimes we make a little progress out of the modes of nature. Sometimes we experience something about Krishna consciousness, but still we're always in Maya. But we can gradually get out of Maya by taking to the process of sadhana bhakti and trying to engage sincerely in Krishna service to the best of our ability, try to concentrate our minds and give our love to Krishna, and then gradually we'll get out of the illusory energy. But how many times during the day have you been aware of your spiritual identity? How many times have you seen the two arm or the form of Krishna during the day? What's that? Yes, when we see the pictures, those are also Krishna, there's no doubt. But how much do we actually reciprocate with the picture, with the transcendental form of Krishna? Yes, we're not completely in Maya, but that doesn't mean we're not in Maya. We're in between, we're marginal, therefore sometimes we're a little bit more under the spiritual energy, sometimes a little bit more under the material energy. But neither in the material energy nor completely in the spiritual energy. But by purification, gradually it'll switch. In other words, we'll be more in the spiritual energy and less in the material energy, and we make progress in Krishna consciousness. Just like for most devotees, our opportunity to be Krishna conscious is when we're in the temple practicing devotional service. And outside that, we're more subjected to the modes of material nature. But as we become purified, then that atmosphere of Krishna consciousness will surround us even when we're not practicing sadhana bhakti. Then we come closer towards actually liberation from the influence of the illusory energy. But that takes some time. It's like keeping the iron in the fire, so it gets hotter and hotter and hotter, and therefore it's not influenced by the coldness anymore, because it's always in the fire. Anything else? Grantara Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.